Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode, another week with This Is Real, show with real people, real problems, real solutions. And you know, we be having some awesome guests. And, you know, but what every now and then, there's people who've been on the show, right? I'm probably giving it away, but I don't even know how to start this. I don't even know what to say about this guest. So look, here it is. Here it is. This person was here and then like disappeared. Now, many of you, at least I know, look, for me, I knew what it was. And maybe for our team, we knew what it was. But for you guys who've been watching faithfully, all the real ones, and you're there was probably a moment where you're like, unless you caught the show where we talked about it. But if you haven't, you're wondering, where did this person go? And guess who's back?
Hi.
Man, what is going on?
What an intro. Thank you so much.
I mean, listen. I didn't know, you know, I was like, I was trying to like not give it away, but it's kind of, you know, it ain't like foundationally from when the show started.
Yeah.
There was like many. Mm-hmm. It's just you. So it was like really hard to be like,
quite a
this
while.
Person, you know. Now, obviously we have like people who used to be guests who are really not guests anymore, like Pastor Ernesto mm-hmm. and stuff. And so he's kind of been here with me. And then we've had guests most of the time. And then every now and then we hit him with a yo. Real TV Raps, where I'm kind of just, it's just me, right? And so you've been gone since, man, we haven't seen you since 2025.
Man, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, man. And so how you been?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for asking.
And so what happened? What you know, because obviously I'm thinking, I mean, because we still were getting a lot of letters.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking, so I'm watching the show. It's like watching any show.
Yeah.
And then a character in the show kind of, you like The Office. That has ever happened in The Office where like there was a character in the show and then they disappeared? They're not there
anymore.
I
mean, they gave him an exit, but yeah.
They gave him an exit. Yeah. In this case, there wasn't much of an exit.
Not really.
Did a final show kind of, well, not final because it was like a pause.
I don't remember if I said goodbye or not.
Yeah, like if not, goodbye and hello. Yeah. But no, seriously speaking, like I think people were like, if you're watching or you did miss that episode because sometimes people watch. You know, I'm thinking y'all watch all the episodes, but maybe they might miss one.
Might have
and missed. If they miss that one, then they're like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then the stories start, you know, did they get into a fight, right? I mean, that's usually like, oh, look, she got canceled out of the show.
Ooh.
What did he, I mean, right?
Yeah, no, they wrote me off the show, guys. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Or they say, what did Pastor Juan do? You know, all kinds of stuff. All the theories. Because only the team and the people that maybe I get wrapped, but even then, probably what happened? So, boom, what happens? Like, what happened to Stephanie Rave Martinez?
Yeah, Martinez Rave, but yes.
Martinez Rave.
Yeah.
Oh,
Stephanie. Like to keep, husband first.
Way to go, come on. It's a good one. I like that.
Thanks. Yeah, so.
And the last name, too, by the way. But
my last name?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's why I kept it.
Ours.
I was like, I like mine, too.
Okay.
It's not many Raves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happens?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we go back to last year, end of last year, November, December-ish, right?
Yeah.
Everything's normal. Everything's, you know, what we've been doing for years and years and years, you know? But obviously everything evolves and changes. So, like you said, I wasn't originally on the radio and then switched to YouTube and joined and did a bunch of stuff. So, just as a whole, just been doing what God has called me to do.
Oh, totally.
Since 2014.
You're in all my pictures of salvation.
You know? Yeah.
Like, if I'm here, you're there. If I'm here, you're there.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then last year, 2024, November, you know, got hit with some bad news health-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was kind of a shocker. You know, I'm a generally, well, honestly, healthy person, you know, all around. And so that was kind of like a big hit just in general for life.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like life threatening, but it was basically precancerous.
Yeah.
So it was like,
life altering.
Yeah.
Definitely
so
altered some
definitely
stuff.
Definitely that. Yeah. So it was good in the sense of being able to, I like when things are brought to light and God reveals things. I feel like it's always at the appropriate time, you know? So it was tough to discover, tough to navigate, tough to maneuver and figure out, you know, ways to manage the path of healing. That's really it, you know, of especially from someone who's never had to deal with any serious health issues. That's, I mean, I've been around it, you know, my whole life, but different family members and friends and people who have, you know, you always hear someone going through something, but whenever it hits you, it's a little bit different. And so, yeah, just a lot of seeking the Lord in that short span of time. I think it was within like 2 weeks.
Oh, no. Yeah, it was kind
of
wild.
2 weeks of diagnosis to a decision being made of basically my life changing for the last 9 months. But yeah, definitely appreciative of pastor, the staff, my husband, family, friends, and all that. But mainly, you know, just the Lord in guiding those next steps.
Yeah.
So the reason, you know, the absence was because, you know, I just felt that God opened the door for me to go through a treatment that wasn't going to alter like my future and family and things like that. So that was really sort of the door that was opened there, honestly, just through a huge miracle. Like, you know, nobody does this type of treatment like in Texas except for one person, and they're in Austin. And I was
okay,
like,
and share on that, right? Because yeah. There's little things, you know, there's a whole lot of questions I have.
Yeah.
Just ministry wise, church wise.
Go for it. Cause I don't know which way we're going.
Like,
but yeah.
like, okay. So there was all these reports, right?
Oh, before and then, that.
Uh-huh. There's all these reports. Yeah. And this was like, I wouldn't say a Hail Mary cause God knew, mm-hmm. but from this side, when you get all these reports and they're like, you need like a needle in a haystack mm-hmm. pretty much, right? You need a needle in a haystack. And you're like, I guess what was the process there? What was your thinking, right? Because I know you found it.
Yeah.
But were you like wigging out or like?
It was sort of like a relief / frustration. I don't know if those two mix, like those emotions mixed,
totally.
You know? Because like you said, prior to that, I faced a lot of, I don't know, I guess women, men, everyone should kind of know like when you're not feeling yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you're not feeling yourself. Your body's not functioning the way that it's supposed to function or the way that you're used to it functioning. And you, someone who's generally healthy, you know, you try to do the things that you've been doing, you know, consistently working out and, you know, maybe obviously with women, hormones, all sorts of different things. And it was sort of like a battle for the last two, I would say shortly after getting married, of like figuring out why I wasn't myself.
Yeah.
You know, something's going on. And so going through the doctors and going through different tests and exams and, you know, I did a sleep apnea and all this sorts of, you know, all the things that you can think of, and nothing was coming up, which was like, all right, maybe I'm just crazy. You know, like this is just my life now, you know. But then, you know, at the end of 2024, thankfully, I had a negative report and it showed that there was something that wasn't right, that was abnormal in my body. And so I was like, oh, finally, sucks, but finally, it's because it's like you knew that something wasn't right. You know, you knew that something wasn't right. It's just a really uncomfortable feeling and uneasy to not have answers. And so then, you know, I believe God uses doctors, God uses medicine. I don't have anything against any of those things, you know, but I definitely try to figure out the more natural and holistic route of things.
Yeah.
And so with the diagnosis, the doctor's recommendations of treatment would basically cause it would have the possibility of causing complications with giving birth or pregnancies in the future. And for those who know me, we don't have any kids yet. We would like to have kids in the future. So that was like a big
grandbabies.
Hit the brake. Yeah. Give Pastor Juan and Miss Ruthie some grandbabies. Jonathan and I's. But it was just a big break because I'm like, don't really want to go that route. Like, I don't want to have any, I don't want to put on any extra complications for someone who's going to be pregnant in the future for the first time.
Sure.
Because that's scary enough already. Like, I'm good. And for those who know us, me and Jonathan have been married for 3 years. We didn't want to get pregnant immediately after getting married. We wanted to enjoy. So, I'm 33. And so it was like, let's take our time. We want to enjoy being married and then plan for children in the future. So just the the news of this diagnosis possibly having implications in the future mm-hmm. was like, you know, not at peace for me. Like I just did not feel comfortable with that at all. And I know like we've talked about it even on the show, like people say at peace and this and that, but it was more like a disturbance, like a, it was more like a stop in my spirit of like, don't do that. Yeah. And it was hard because it was like the doctor's like, hey, like this, if this goes untreated, it'll become cancer. And then you have cancer. And so I'm like, crap. So they were like, you know, I recommend you do this within a month. And so I'm praying, I'm talking to my husband, I'm like researching, trying to educate myself on all of this. And so
become like a master at it or what?
Kind of, you know, yeah. I mean, there's just so much information, you know, online and
you gotta be like careful that. With that, right? Cause
exactly. Cause so I mean, I'm reading, and then you don't want to be the WebMD person of like, oh, I'm dying. And you know, it means I have to amputate my leg or something, you know, yeah, like I'm not long, that person, man. You know, but I did take the month from the diagnosis to the month, and it was a week after the month. And my husband, thank you, Jonathan, for just being super supportive, you know, 1,000%. One of the kind of caveats of it was like, hey, these are, there's abnormal cells in your body, stress, and, you know, brings about more amplification of all of those cells. So everyone yeah. knows that.
Yeah.
And if you go mistreated, it's going to turn from precancerous to cancerous. And so the month had gone by of when the doctor had told me to schedule that treatment, a week after the month, and I still hadn't scheduled anything because I felt that stop, you know. But I had been researching and I had found that there was a different route for treatment, and so yeah. I'm like, man, I really want to do this. But in my research, there was nobody who did it. Like, nobody offered it here, nobody in Texas, nobody anything. The doctors that talked about it, like, they were all in different states and stuff like that. So it didn't really, like, make sense to me where I'm like, man, I mean, it looks like there's another option, sure. but it doesn't really seem like it's realistic. So the week after, you know, Jonathan comes home one day from work and he's like, hey, so, I mean, I'm cool with whatever you want to do. If you want to do the treatment, if you don't want to do the procedure that they're telling you to do or not. And I was like, you know, I just really don't feel at peace for it. But I did find this other treatment, you know, this doctor who
that's
talks
a lady
about
in Austin
it.
Or whatever.
No, right? It was oh, a doctor who talks about that type of treatment. All right. And so I'm like, hey, I'm like, but, and he's like, well, where's that doctor? And I was like, I don't know. I think they're like in Wisconsin or New York or something like that. He's like, well, look to see if there's somebody. And, you know, it's funny because it's like, yeah, I did look. Trust me. Nothing's there. And he's not even out of his work uniform, standing in the living room and Googles. He's like, what's it called? So he Googles it and he finds a Reddit thread. For those of you who know, Reddit's like a blog thing
yeah,
online.
Yeah, totally.
A Reddit thread with a comment of someone saying that they do that treatment with this lady in Austin. There's a midwife in Austin who does it. And so I was like, what? I'm like, I've took 5 weeks looking for this stuff and my husband found it, you know, in
the
five
favorite,
minutes or
the
whatever.
The Martinez.
Yeah.
Family.
I'm a Martinez too. No. But anyways.
Yeah, yeah. I know, but yeah, you kept
so,
the rave. You know,
so
you
we found that, you know, reached out and spoke and did a consultation the following day. And it was just a really cool, holy moment. Like we cried on the phone, like me with this midwife. Like she was just the lady who does the procedures. She was just a believer and she just ministers to women like all of the time and what she does. Like that's her whole shout out to Tiara. But yeah, her whole practice is based on faith. So it was just like that yes of like why God had given me that pause, you know, because I'm like those moments of like you're not sure whether it's your own voice, whether it's you being ignorant or you not listening to the Lord or whatever sure. that is. And so that moment was just so reassuring for me. But then after, you know, got a hit with the logistics of it all, you know, because I live in Houston, treatments are in Austin. The treatment requires me to remove, you know, stress, change of lifestyle, and go to Austin twice a week for treatments, which is, you know, a 4-hour drive. So, you know, sat and talked with my husband about it and went and spoke to my in-laws about it. AKA Pastor Juan, Ms. Ruthie. Yeah. But yeah, just kind of sharing of like where my heart was, where our plan was for believing that we can stop these cells before they become cancerous.
Yeah. And now you're back.
Yeah. So it was a scary moment. Scary decision. It felt very rocky for some time, not knowing, you know, how that was going to look, how my life was going to be different. I always trusted God to, like, heal and do what he does, you know? But the day-to-day, the
Well, you're battling routine, all the thoughts, right? Yeah. You're battling all the, you're trying to stay away from, because I'm sure, you know, not everybody's like, yeah, you know, you have the naysayers and yeah, the, you know, a little bit of everything on the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. All of those things. But I was just blessed with, you know, you guys supporting the staff and my coworkers and family and friends, you know, just supporting the decision to step back from everything and giving my body the 100% to heal.
And so, you know, praise God, right? So here you are. We've been, I mean, from the ground up, get right, right? And so something that, you know, throughout the years, I guess I've seen is like in about, you ain't about that life, you ain't in that church life. And so it's like, so, you know, a lot of times when people don't work a job at a church, I'm saying for people that do work at a church, you know, you slowly start seeing them disappear, stuff like that, or, you know, there's all these different things. What is something that, so, because I'm thinking you have all this time, and this is what our life, pretty much, because we're also family, right?
At that point, it was 10 years, you know?
Yeah. So then all of a sudden, you, I mean, because it was like, bam, bam, right? So it wasn't like we planned for 6 months. It was like, bam, bam, conversation. Hey, by December, boom.
Yeah.
We love you. So we're like, do what you got to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that like? Just from the whole ministry, what have you learned? You know, because all of a sudden you, it's like a, I mean, hard stop, right?
Right.
And then boom, you're going through all the stuff, but then you also have all the stuff that you're used to, right?
Yeah.
You know? And so I always tell people, you know, when you do a lot of ministry and you first go on sabbatical, you kind of like, you get this itch, you know, like, oh man, you know, because you're so used to it and consumed. People are always pulling and then stop. What was that like for you? Like, not.
Honestly, that's even though the health issues were challenging, I think the second most challenging part was that of just stopping doing the thing that I love doing, that I do every single day. And it's like a baby, you know, it's like something that I have seen grow from 2014, you know, 10 years. And something that I know is God's audible voice who told me to be here, you know, and to do what I'm doing and all of the different ways that
you left
a
career.
Yeah, I left being a chef, you know, and I listened to the Lord on coming and joining Pastor Juan and Ruthie. Not any like position or title, to just be alongside.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
at that
just
point
developed
you were throwing the trash
into,
and making copies. We didn't even know
So it was just, you know, at that point, you know, positions and titles have changed 1,000 times over. But the response to be here has been the same, you know? And so not being here as a job and not being here in ministry, right? Because that's what was required of me, you know, to be able to fully focus on everything and really steward it well. You know, I wanted to steward the time well. I wanted to steward the finances that it would take for me to not work, to pay for things, you know, and, you know, out of pocket for treatments and my husband working on his own and things. So that definitely wanted to be stewarded well. So the ministry part was just hard because I felt like I was like leaving people hanging, you know? I think in like in ministry, it's hard because there's people who come and go for good and bad reasons, you know?
Sure.
And so the bad reasons stink. Those suck because you're like, dang, you know, like they either hurt you or they have a misconception of you or they hurt others around you, right? Or they're hurting themselves because they didn't follow the guidance that you offered. So in ministry, just in general, that part is tough. So being, I mean, I'll say for myself, consistent for 10 years with my own ups and downs, not perfect in any way. I didn't like being on the receiving end of that type of stuff, sure. whether it was good or bad, because sometimes it's good and you're just sometimes like, good. Oh man, they went and started a church or a business and that, or they moved states. And I love following along like all the people that have once sure. been a part of our church and journey and stuff. But being on the receiving end, good or bad, it's hard. You have to shuffle things around. You have to figure things out. Sometimes you're doing, you know, 5-6 jobs at once, or sometimes yeah. you have to like let go of things that you really wanted to see all the way through because, you know, people are no longer here. And so because I was around it for so long, I knew what that was going to do and impact the people around me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that part sucked, you know? That part sucked because I love doing what I do. I love yeah. seeing the people that I see and working with them and ministering and everything. And so I knew that it was going to be hard for them and it was going to be hard for me. And I just didn't want to have like a bad taste in anyone's mouth of like, oh, Stephanie, you know, she's not here. She messed this up, or now this sure, is harder sure. or this or that, you know?
And the whispers that ain't the Lord, right? That
yeah, trying yeah.
to convince you.
But it was just really cool too, because it was like in those moments, like even the drives to Austin, 4 hours and stuff, like all of those are really ordained. And God just gave me really good moments of like, you know what, just as much as you've grown, they get to grow also, and you're growing too, you know, because sure. sometimes whenever you're doing something for so long, you can kind of get stuck on like, it has to be done your way, or
yeah.
this is how we've done it, and this is how we've done it for, you know, X amount of years. And so knowing that God has like this cool plan for Get Wrapped and the radio and just the ministries in general and every family that's attached to it, that's beyond like our years.
Sure.
It's just cool to be able to be like, okay, you know what? I mean, it's going to continue, and people are going to grow. There's going to be frustrations. There may be questions. There may be doubts and all these different things. But just as much as God helped me endure when those have hit us for the last 10 years, sure. like he's going to help them and he's going to help me, you know? And so it was, I would say maybe a rocky, I don't know, 3 weeks, you know, three sure. to 4 weeks
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
And then really feeling at peace of like, you know what? Let's say the whole place burns down. Like, it's yeah. going to be okay. Yeah. Like, it's going to be okay, you know? you know, but also just like you said, the uncertainty, because it wasn't like a, hey, this takes 3 months. Like, it was, I'm doing this and we don't know how long it takes, because it can take long. A different
yeah,
amount
I remember of those conversations.
Different amount. Yeah. Pastor, you know, did great. But he was always like, so that 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 10 weeks, what is it? And I was like, yeah. I don't know. I'm like, we know every single week there's totally. Updates, and sometimes there's no updates, and sometimes things don't move along, you know? So it was a really in like unknown return.
Yeah.
So that was tough. That was hard. But experiencing it on this end, it was just cool to be able to go past that, see that everyone is still equipped. Obviously, it's I'm not God, so God speaking to them on how to do ministry, how to work on staff, how to do things on the radio and all of that without me. But also just to be able to experience the life of someone who's not in ministry and on staff, right? Like, I'm in ministry so, because my life is ministry and I love the Lord.
Totally.
But I'm not, you know, vocational ministry in that time. And so it's like up to me to make the decision of, do I want to stay involved in community? Do I want to be committed to attending church?
Right now,
like, do I want to serve? Do I want to do things? Do I still want to meet with people and hang out? Like, you know, a lot of those times, the things that we as in ministry or in churches or whatever, we try to teach people to do forth, it's a little bit easier for us because we do have the time. So
yeah,
like that's our job, you know. But
yeah,
for those
totally.
Who aren't working in vocational ministry, it's an active decision. And so I got to experience that in the last 9 months, for the first time since being a teenager, honestly, because I don't think I was an active
wow.
like church member. I was like a church goer in my 20s.
Yeah.
But I wasn't an active church member since, you know, I was a teenager. So being able to do that and experience it, I kind of, you know, I joked with Pastor about like, oh, you know, kind of like a, let's see, Steph, like, are you full of crap? Or are you like the people who you complain about, you know?
Yeah, because kudos to you. Yeah. I give you some kudos. Like in my heart.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like I said, we've been to plenty of states. You know, pretty much everywhere United States, mm-hmm. Even Alaska, you know, different types of conferences, you know, small, you know, Bible study, just everything, all kinds of stuff, good, bad, ugly. We've cried, we've got mad, all of it. So, you know, this was probably on my end, right, was like, it's just crazy, right? I remember like sitting and also tearing up on the fact that, number one, we love you, and obviously you have a health scare. Then I think the most I've experienced you not being was when you weren't like my assistant anymore, but you were still around.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So like this, like suddenly of like, with somebody that you're just used to doing like conversations all the time, It was like, oh man. And like, I don't know if I was even like, it was like, I guess a shocker in a weird way, which not saying that I didn't think you would be that way. Mm-hmm. It was just a shocker because I just saw you like, she's gone, you know, even though, you know, you're married to Jonathan, all that stuff. And I know all that stuff. It's just how it felt. It was like horrific breakup, ministry, job. You get what I'm saying? I don't mean that in a, I'm just saying like this person you just work with and you're like constantly thinking on how to change the world, help people's lives. Every day, and all of a sudden, phew, and then that person's gone, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, now you got people you love and are here with you. But then, I guess I wasn't, when I started seeing you, and I know this might sound weird to some people, but I kept seeing you be a Christian. Right? I know that, well, it sounds weird because I feel like sometimes you working for a church is not, and maybe that we got to do a whole show on this, but working for a church, I think a lot of times people think, I think it messes some people up because
to everyone. Like if you say that it didn't happen to you, you're lying
all day long because you go through the season of clock out because I'm, mm-hmm. but I mean clock out is like, all right, because you, when I
first started, your job is your Christianity. Yes, so like, you're it, like, it's oh, well, 4 o'clock. I did Jesus 5 o'clock. I'm done because I work 8 to 5. Yes. But it's like, yes. Nah. Like,
so you start feeling like you've done Jesus mm-hmm. all week,
yeah.
And then in this weird way, you feel like, you know, like, oh, I got to do Jesus again on Saturday, and it's like, well, no, like if you didn't work there, you just have Jesus. So the fact that you were still coming to like. Pretty much you belong to the body of Christ. You were like at the church. You went to, if there was a meeting.
Yeah, we had our hangouts. We were still in hangouts and that was dope. Involved with, you know, Night Out with Jesus and outreaches and just smaller capacity things, you know, to remove sort of that responsibility because I was gone, you know, twice a week in a faraway place and just removing that stress as well, which isn't a bad thing, you know, we all have to manage our stress, but in the capacities that I could being involved in. And I think more than the church part, I think the cool part that was, I guess, a different experience for me was just, I don't want to say discipleship, but it's a little bit discipleship, sure. / iron sharpen iron,
yeah.
You know, of like, I think we're also, whether it's church attendees or church staff, right, like we're used to having fellowship with people because of the proximity, right? Like we're cool because we all work together and we can have lunch and this and that, mm-hmm. or we're cool because we're in the same hangout or because we serve in the same team, and so that's why I check on you, and that's why I hang out with you, or that's why I spend time with you. And so I didn't have those things at all, so it was up to myself and those that I call friends to make those things happen, you know. Yeah, of like, cool. We're going to hang out. Why? Because I don't see you every day, right? We're going to hang out because why? You know, we're not serving on the same team, so we need to see each other outside of those things. And so the one, like I did a lot of one-on-ones, you know, sometimes I asked like a couple of people to drive me to Austin because it was, it was a difficult treatment. So even in those things, you know, it was just like that. It just felt really good to have those genuine moments, you know, sure. But it was definitely something that took effort because not once did I ever feel like, oh, what was me? You know, like people don't care about me or whatever. Sure. It was just like, no, now instead of seeing them, you know, in the morning when we serve, it's, hey, come hang out for coffee, or hey, would you like to join me for dinner or whatever, yeah. You know? So that was a really cool thing to experience because that part also is important.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, no, totally. I agree. That's why I was excited when I saw G was so excited that you got back.
I know. G had a party. He was like, man, he was really happy. Stephanie's back. He decorated my desk. No, really, I'm kidding. We're just
teasing. He was really happy. I think I saw, like, pictures of you and Jonathan. He's like, she's back.
Yeah. So, yeah, it took a little while, but that's, you know, what God did. And thankfully, you know, it wasn't too long.
Yeah. No, you know, in those moments, they feel long.
Yeah.
They feel long. I don't know, you know, how the real ones feel out there where they're like, you know, it just seems long.
Yeah. No, I definitely had questions, you know. It was definitely a private moment while it was going through it, you know, just navigating and protecting, you know, my journey.
Yeah.
But I definitely had the questions of like, hey, I don't see you anymore, or this or that, or why is that? So, you know, I would share with people that I'm like, you know, in the process that I'm in, there's always levels, you know. To some, I'll be like, yeah, you know, I'll be here next Sunday or whatever. But then those that are, as they get closer to me, you know, those that knew and were in support and praying and believing for us. Like, I got tons of text messages from people, you know, just randomly, whether I'm in close relationship or their pastors on staff or at the church or whatever, of like, you know, we're praying for you guys, we love you guys and all of that. And I know, like, even like my husband's job and like his clients, which is so like far beyond reach, you know, but like just seeing how much God loves us too and him, because he's at work all the time. And so clients asking about us, you know, he's a barber. So it's like, I don't know, y'all get y'all's haircut, right? So just regular barber conversation stuff. And so just how like his own clients would be like, you know, how's your wife doing and stuff? And like, checking in on me, things like that. I feel like that was a really good moment that God just showed himself even in his workplace and things like that, you know. So
that's super dope.
It was just really special, you know, to have that support, to have that you know, community, and that, I guess, kind of like a protection everywhere we were.
Hey, okay, I'm gonna put you in the DeLorean two times. Two questions. So
I'll put, are you going to say the thing, or do I have to say it to myself?
Hey, you're not again. Hey, listen, what is
Stephanie?
Hey, what is it? What is the?
If you had to, no, I'm a guest.
Hey, no, hit, you're not me, a guest.
Hit me. What is it?
Oh my God. Hey, listen. So let's say we're gonna take you back. I forget the whole. Am I putting you Back to the Future? Is the movie? But what's the saying?
I don't know. What's the saying? I haven't done it
in a while. You haven't. Dear younger me. Yes, dear younger me. And we're going to put you in the DeLorean. We're going to put you in the DeLorean. And I am there with my white hair. Okay. And I'm like, I'm going to take you back to, if you can look back before that happened, what advice would you give to yourself? You know, because somebody out there, you know, what advice could you give to yourself before that day? What would you say to yourself? Because now you've been through it, so you can probably have some good advice for Stephanie.
So before the
holiday? Yeah, so you didn't know yet. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to yourself now that you've seen what you've went through, all that stuff? Because I know now you're more at a place where you want to pace yourself. There's just little things you've said to me that are a ripple effect, or it's a pretty much a byproduct of, because you went through all the stuff. So there's a mindset that you have now that you probably wouldn't have, that other people don't have.
It's funny because I feel like I'm the opposite of the go people. Like, I'm the one that's like, structure, plan. How are we doing it? When are we doing it?
Yeah,
I'm that person already.
Yeah.
You know, but even being that person, I think before all of this, I still had the go part of like, oh, we want to see God move here, and we want to see this vision come to life and that. And there's just like this anticipation and drive.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that I'm like very go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
but that's why I said that that's why I'm mentioning like my personality, because my personality is not really like that at all.
No.
Like at all. I'm actually surrounded by a lot of people who I have to be the brakes for, you know? So to the younger me, I would say, even though you are that, like, still take those moments to pause. Like, enjoy where you are and let what's to come be in God's timing.
Yeah.
And I've always believed that, you know, but I think internally, I think I that was sort of like where the stressors would come, because it's like, oh man, and there's a lot of momentum behind, you know, you, the ministry, sure, the church, all of that, and
your
we're
heart,
just constantly
you care,
growing.
You care in a big way. Yep.
Yeah, and we're just constantly growing and meeting new people, and so the more that we meet people and the more stories we hear, the more our heart attaches to, man, I want to see that person's life change. I want to see that person healed. I want to see this person, you know, receive this and that. And so I think before that, it was like that drive that was unhealthy. It was like an unhealthy drive of, we're going to see it and it's going to be in this lifetime, you know? And yeah, that'd be amazing. And I, even though I'm not like super old, but I think after I would definitely reflect and be like, hey, even if, right, even if that person doesn't understand or doesn't change their life in your lifetime, even if the ministry doesn't reach this in your lifetime, or you know, because I think we try to make it happen and see God move and do things, and we just want to see it. Like, that's a cool thing, not a bad thing. You know, I'm sure the people in the Bible weren't thinking that, you know, Jesus was going to leave them in 3 years, but it's just being able to pause and to say, and kind of leave him with the timeline, you know, do your due diligence and steward your time and your gifts well, but leave the timeline up to the Lord, but in
really
your
good.
Heart, not just in the dates, but in your heart, because in your heart, then you'll be okay with people coming and going, ministries, you know, changing, or things taking longer, things happening really fast, you know, and I think that's the pace that I'm at now, where do I want to see, you know, like our building and everything? Who knows? I really don't know what God has, you know, for the next few things. Even this, like, we didn't think. I teased Pastor about, I'm like, you know, I did a year of broadcast journalism.
Yeah,
like,
all day
when
long.
When he started the radio back up again. But never once did I think back then that it was going to be into millions of people listening.
14 million, I think.
You know, so it's like, even that is like, whoa.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I maybe G shed a tear over there. Not sure, you know. But for those, did April do good during that season? Did she do good? Or do you want to rebuke her? I'm just saying, it's a good moment.
No, I definitely, I'm on friendships
like
100%.
She's like, please say something good.
No, April's always been a good friend. You know, we've definitely shared lots of moments. And I think April has been one that has been consistent throughout time. You know, but I did rebuke a few friends.
I mean, it happens. Or you know, it's in the context of those things. Listen.
We get to practice. The thing, you know, not often are we in the place to practice what
all
we preach,
long.
You know? And all so when long. We're put in those moments of like, okay, time to practice what you preach, you know, I told someone that I was like, girl, you was like this close to being like, you ain't my friend no more. I'm like, it took you 3 months to hang out with me? Like,
especially
nah.
when you're, it's kind of like, let's say we were all taking, we're taking breaks from our phones and nobody else is taking breaks. When you're taking a break from your phone, it's only when you realize, wow, everybody's moving really fast and nobody's really talking and nobody's really, right? So when, especially for you, when you go like,
oh yeah, because I did
like,
that. I actually removed social media, and I mean, I only stuck with Facebook because that one's really slow. It's like for us old people, you know, like it doesn't get updated as much as Instagram. And so it's like, wow, but I highly recommend it to everyone because
I think everybody
amazing, you know, like it's just, it's so refreshing to not be told by the world of what your life should look like, what your friendship should look like, you know, and it's cool to have as a tool, but not something as like your daily bread.
Yeah. Man, well, you heard it. This is real with Stephanie Martinez Rave.
Thank you guys for having me.
Man, you know what? And so they said you're back. So now we got to figure that out. You're like, well, all right. Hi, guys.
All that.
Well,
thank
you so much
for
sharing everything and being vulnerable and transparent. Would you like to say something to anybody, like a final word? If there was somebody out there and they're like, man, I'm moving too fast, or I'm not. You know, would you like to pray for them? Would you like to give them a word? How do you want to close this thing?
I'll definitely say, you know, wherever you find yourself in everything that, you know, we got to share today and whether you're the person who's go, 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 or someone who, you know, is a planner and is hit with something unexpected, to give yourself the grace and the peace to really trust God in his timing and his word.
Yeah.
And really his voice, you know, I think God's voice was just so prevalent in this whole entire time that, like I said, it's those little moments, whether it's a client telling my husband something or a song that played while I was, you know, driving to Austin, or a text message from a friend or an acquaintance, you know, it's that God's voice is so present in your life. You just have to be open to hear it, and he's going to guide you every single step, whether it's in decisions, it's in open doors, closed doors, relationships, finances, all those things, you know? So, the more you get to know him, the more you get to recognize his voice. And that's the encouragement that I can leave you with, of get to know him so that you can recognize his voice for whenever you do face any trial, whether it's, you know, one that you're going through now or one that you might face, you know, down the line.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So listen, I want to thank all of you who tune in every single week. Don't forget to share this with a family member. We're also on YouTube. I know this is on Pando. We're on all, I guess, the social media streams. I'm not going to go through them all, but make sure you tell somebody about it. Why? Because it's a show with real people, real problems, real solutions. So we want to give you a solution to your problems. And hopefully today you heard something that maybe it's telling you to slow down. Maybe it's telling you to be patient. Maybe it's telling you to examine where you're at. Or maybe you're that person that maybe was on church staff and you haven't been a very good servant of the Lord. You've just been like work oriented or works oriented. So check your heart, man. Make sure that you allow Jesus to go right in the middle of that thing and transform it. Get a renewed mind. I think there was a lot of great nuggets.
Thanks.
Right? That shows hope, a little bit of faith in there, a little bit of crying, and how you can make it. And, you know, it's interesting always looking back, like, you know, when we lose a job and people are like falling apart, but then all of a sudden they get a better job, or you know, maybe at that moment where you're like, oh, my life, but then all of a sudden, like, things, there's always something to learn and you have some great moments, and so that could be you too. Peace.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.